Hey, this is Alex Moore, lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks for taking time to listen to this message. For more information or to donate, visit newlifekc.com. Welcome to our fourth and final week in this series that we're doing called The Gospel According to Mental Health. Now, we kicked this series off about a month ago, and right out of the gates, we were very honest about a few things. Because we're going to take a look, right, in this series at what does the Bible have to say about mental health? What does Jesus have to say about it? And right out of the gates, week one, we all came to the same conclusion that mental health is a difficult subject to tackle. There's a lot to it, and there's no way in the course of 4 weeks of 1 month of sermons that we would be able to exhaust this topic. We are, in many ways, I feel like addressing the proverbial elephant in the room, that this is something that impacts so many people, but for whatever reason, inside of the church, this hasn't been a thing that we've had much conversation around, much discussion, and if you did bring it up, you were maybe like, it was communicated almost that you were like a bad Christian if you were struggling with anything, with mental health. And so over the past several weeks, we've been trying to destigmatize the conversation around mental health. And it is a complex issue. We can't deny that. Even in the medical community, they decided that they would separate the brain from the mind, that we have neurologists now and psychologists. We have this separation because it is such a complex issue. And mental health, I think, is tough to talk about because it's also common. That means that so many of you have personal stories. You have personal experiences when it comes to this. And it's a little bit audacious for me to get up and to think that I could speak into all of your situations without knowing your story. And I will admit, I am not a mental health expert. I'm a pastor. And what I've tried to do is try to stay in my lane. I've tried to, in this series, point you to Jesus, who is the author of our lives, who understands all of our struggles and what we go through. And the good news today that I want you to know is that Jesus is a healer. He was known as the great physician. And if you are in a place of brokenness, you need to come to the feet of Jesus, because that is the place that healing can begin. And so mental health, man, it's a tough one to talk about. It's not only complex, it's common, but also it's sensitive, because so much of our stories have pain in the past. Maybe it was an experience that we went through, something that marked us, something that has shaped who we are. And for some of us, we haven't processed through those things. And so they're very raw. There's a place that we can be triggered and taken back to this. And so it makes it difficult to talk about. And put on top of all of that, that everybody has an opinion when it comes to mental health. Have you gone to the family reunion and you tried to share something and you're like, wow, that part of the family, that uncle, that aunt, they don't see the world the same way as I do. Their necks are a little red, and you're not so sure what to think about those parts of your family. So I will say this as we are coming to the final concluding week here, is that I was a little taken back this month with how many people came to me, and people that I didn't necessarily know that well in this congregation, and made it a point to shake my hand, and they didn't know exactly what to say, but they said, thank you for talking about this. It wasn't just one time, wasn't two times, it wasn't three times, multiple times. I'm going to be honest, I don't get thanked for giving messages very often. I like it. You can keep doing it. But as a pastor, I don't get people to come up and be like, hey, man, thank you for talking about that. But this subject, people have gone out of their way to say thank you. And I believe that the reason is because what we're talking about is resonating with people, that there's a part of them that has maybe been hidden and in the dark, and it's okay to bring it into the light. It's okay for us to share what's going on. And not only share, that's not the end goal, but to begin a process of healing. And so as we started in week one of this series, we declared three things. And we even made little cards that you could take home. If you didn't get one of these, they're on the back wall. You can grab one on your way out. On the front of it just has the church name, and it has that little I don't know what you want to call it, graphic that we've used during this series. But on the back of it, it has three truths. And what my encouragement was with you was to take this card and to put it somewhere that you would see it. And if you experienced a difficult time or you began to struggle with your mental health during this month, that you would come back to these three truths. And so we'll put them up here on the screen. We've talked about these each week, that what you would say in the midst of your struggle is, you know what? I am alive to love God and serve His world. And I do this by reflecting His goodness in my thoughts, attitudes, and actions. It's a declaration of truth. I was created with purpose and value, no matter how I see myself or what I'm struggling with. And the final one was this, that God designed me to live in the community of God's people where my faith and relationships are strengthened. Now, the reason that I selected those three declarations of truth for you to speak in the midst of challenging and difficult situations is because those three declarations of truth answer three big questions. Three big questions that we need to have answers for in our life. The first question it answers is, why am I alive? When we go through challenges to our mental health, sometimes we question why we are alive. And the first answer, why am I alive? I'm alive to love God and serve His world. Sometimes when we get into dark places, we lose sight of why we're here. And listen, friends, I'm alive to love God and to serve His world. I want to reflect His goodness in my thoughts, attitudes, and actions. The second question that these declarations answer is, you know, did God create me? And if He does it matter? And that's what our second statement is. Did God create me and does it matter? Well, yeah, I was created by an intelligent designer with purpose and value. I wasn't just an accident. I wasn't just an afterthought. I just didn't happen to pop up on the scene. Maybe I was a surprise to my parents, but I wasn't a surprise to God. Like, I was created with purpose and value. And no matter how I see myself, no matter my self-conception or how I view myself or what I'm going through, I'm still created with purpose and value. And does that matter? Yes, that means that you have value. No matter what you're going through, no matter how worthless you may feel, the fact that a God created you, He loves you, He's given you purpose, you are valuable. In fact, you're so valuable that God takes you like you are. Yeah, but I feel like I need to clean up for God. He'll take you as you are. You're that valuable to Him. You know how valuable you are to God? That He won't leave you that way either. He will take you as you are, but He will not leave you that way because you're that valuable to Him. And if you will enter into relationship with Him, God will prove to you your value by the way that He treats you. It's an incredible thing. We need to know, yes, God created me, and yes, it matters because I have value. In case you don't know this about God, and we'll just say this in case you forgot, here's a list. God is, number one, He's aware. He's aware of your life. He is aware of your thoughts. He is aware of what you're going through. He is aware. He's not surprised. He's not unaware. No, no, no. He is very aware. And on top of that, He's understanding. Like, He gets you, and He gets what you're going through. You're like, I don't think anybody gets me. God does. He knows everything. He gets you. He understands you. And in spite of His awareness and understanding, where you say, if anybody really knew me, they might reject me, He actually is compassionate towards you. His heart goes out to you. And on top of that, He is approachable. He wants you to come to Him as you are. And know that God is observant. He is observing you. It's not like He just knows you and He's distant and He's far away. No, no, He's a personal God. He's paying attention to you. And He's wanting to guide you each and every day. He's wanting to train you and correct you. And in fact, He will actually reward you when you start moving the right direction. He will bless you. And the reason is because God is invested in you. And when you're struggling, He will comfort you. And when you need it, He will compensate for you. Some of you are like, I don't know if I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Bible says that when I am weak, He is strong. Man, we have a God that will compensate for us when we can't seem to toe the line. He will help us to toe the line. He will help us be what we cannot be on our own. And He loves us so much that He inspires us. He tries to move us. He tries to motivate us to move in the direction that he wants. And not only does he just try to inspire you, he actually will empower you. He will give you what you need to make it. Ah, we can all be victors. We can all be winners because of Jesus. And the final question that this things that we're these declarations that we're talking about, the final question is, why should I be involved with the church? Like, you guys are coming, you're here, you're attending, which is great. We love that you're here. But like, why should you be a part of a church? Well, it's because God designed you to live in the community of God's people. Like, don't let that fly by. You're like, well, okay, whatever. No, no, no. This is how you were designed to live. When you are not connected to a group of other believers and you are isolated, you will not be all that God intended. You will miss out on his purpose for your life. His purpose is connected to the community. We were designed. We function best in this environment. And this is where our faith, our belief in what we cannot see grows. It's strengthened. It's where our relationships are strengthened. And so today, as we wrap up this series, I want us to not forget these three truths, because they're going to influence everything that we talk about today. And as I've been preparing for this final message, I believe that I have inadvertently saved the most difficult of all the subjects we're going to cover until the last week. It's not a subject that you hear about talked in church very often. And even though most people at some point or another in their life have endured something severe, for whatever reason, this isn't talked about. So today's topic is trauma. Trauma is not new to the world, and it's definitely not new to Jesus. It's important for us to realize that the Bible does speak to trauma. It doesn't use that word, but biblical authors are honest about the full range of painful and shocking experiences that people can walk through. The Bible uses the lens of suffering for trauma. Suffering sometimes is due to the sins of other people. Sometimes it's suffering due to just being in a fallen world. Other times it's suffering due to our own sinful choices. But this suffering and trauma we see all throughout the Bible, and I just did a quick thought, like, all right, if I was to think about the Bible through the lens of trauma, who would I think about? Well, I thought about Job, we talked about last week, who's the richest man, and in one day he lost everything. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his business. He lost all of his workers. He actually lost 10 of his children in a freak accident. You're going to talk about a traumatic event. How do you wake up the next day after that? Well, if you read the story, you realize, man, he struggled. But there is something that he did. He had some friends that came around. His friends didn't give good counsel. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I feel like that's my regroup. I bring something up and everybody has an opinion. Just read Job. too soon. Hey, join that last week. So I think about Job. Think about Adam and Eve. You talk about traumatic experience. You're living in paradise, and then you do a dumb thing, and now you're out in the wilderness. What happened to all the trees and the fruit and the ground got hard? And what's this labor pain? Yeah, traumatic. We have Adam and Eve. Oh, and then you have some kids. And then your oldest, Cain, kills your other son, Abel. How do you f***ing? You can't even go and talk to anybody. There ain't nobody else on the earth. Trauma. How about little boy Isaac? We remember Isaac? You know who his father was? Father Abraham. Yeah. Remember what they did to Isaac? Can you imagine being little Isaac and you're tied up and you're laying on an altar and you're looking up at your dad with a knife above you? Traumatic? Traumatic, yes. She's like, I can't even keep it in. That is not good. How about Noah and his family surviving the flood? Everyone in the world died. No wonder he got drunk when he got off the boat. Jacob. He had 12 sons. They became the 12 sons of Israel. We don't talk about it often, but he also had a daughter named Dinah who was raped. You want to read the wildest story in Genesis? Those 12 boys didn't like what happened to their sister. Those 12 boys, you know, they were part of Abraham's line, which means they were circumcised. So they went to these guys, family, who had raped this girl and said, hey, you want to marry her? Fine, y'all get circumcised. And while they were healing, they went and killed them all. Traumatic. I mean, this is in the Bible. You're like, I don't think I want to read that part of the Bible. Can we just go to Jesus walking on water? No, this is in the Bible. That one of those sons, Jacob's son Joseph, the brother sold him into slavery. You don't talk about a traumatic experience. How about we just ship you off and you're in slavery now? Moses' day, the Pharaoh had all Hebrew boys under the age of two thrown into the Nile River. You're going to talk about a community experiencing trauma. How about the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt? Just being a slave is a traumatic experience. We get to King Saul in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel. And if anybody probably ever fit the bill for PTSD, it was this guy who was tormented by his memories. There was emotional distress. And when he was in the midst of this fight, he would invite David to come and play the harp. And the music that he played became an escape. It became a distraction to him until his panic and rage attacks took over and he started throwing spears at David, trying to kill his own son. Yeah, King Saul, paranoia, social mistrust, isolation. Eventually, he fell on his own sword. And then just think about Jesus' crucifixion. Sometimes we've sanitized that story because we're like, yay, Easter, he's alive. But the king of the world died. And everybody who followed him scattered. And every hope that you had was dashed. Can you imagine being one of the people that Jesus healed? And you're like, man, I'm all for him. And then he died. Your world's upside down. So what is trauma? A lot of what I just talked about are traumatic events. But a traumatic event in your life doesn't have to lead to trauma. Okay? So here's what trauma is. Trauma is a response to a deeply disturbing or distressing event. The trauma isn't the event itself. It's our response to that event. The American Psychological Association, they define it this way. I'll put it up here. Trauma is an emotional response to a devastating event experienced either indirectly or directly. So trauma is real. Some people are like, I don't think trauma's real. All right, trauma's real. And people experience it to different degrees. For some people, trauma was that thing that you saw on that 1990s television show with George Clooney, ER, you know, trauma. Some people think of trauma as just a traumatic injury or a physical injury, but the truth of the matter is that trauma cannot just be physical, it can be, but it can also be emotional, it can be mental, and it can even be spiritual. And if you grew up like me, and I don't know how many of you grew up like me, and some of you might have sympathy for me after you hear this, or you might be like, yeah, I thought you grew up like me. If I ever heard someone say that they experienced trauma, I'd have probably heard somebody else be like, trauma, what are you talking about? Get over it. It couldn't be that bad. And then you'd hear things like, when I was your age, I had to walk 15 miles in the snow, uphill, both ways to get to school. Hey, why don't you rub a little dirt on it and get back on the field?
There you go.
You know, some of you might have been raised like me. If you had trauma, hey, just get over it. You know, it's time to move on. And the mindset was just get over it. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Hey, why don't you just get back to work? Maybe you'd get something done if you stopped sitting in your feelings and just worked. Here's the problem, and some of you are going to be like, there's a problem with that? I've lived like that. The problem is that you don't just get over trauma. If it's real trauma, you don't just get over it. You don't just move on. Here's what you have to do. You have to heal from it. When you just try to move on without healing, you're still wounded. When you try to just get over it, but you don't heal, you're still hurt. And it just is a matter of time until something triggers, and it's like all of that rushes back to right now. It wasn't in the past anymore, it's still present, because we never healed. Today, I want to encourage you to not ignore your past, to not just move past it, but to heal from it. And I'm going to be honest, it's not an easy process. It's not going to happen before we dismiss today. Some of you are like, I would really like that to happen. Can you just, you know, can we get like some holy water or something? Can you anoint me with oil? Can you just cast it out of me? It's not a demonic thing. It's something that's in our life that we have to process through. And so today I'm actually going to give you action steps. And I'm going to be honest, some of you are going to not like that I'm giving you action steps, because you're not going to like that you're going to have to do something with your past. But I want to challenge you to begin to heal because, as I said earlier, Jesus is the healer. And if we can come to the healer and we can put ourselves at his feet, we can begin a process of healing. He leads, we receive the gifts, but we have to participate. So before we get into action steps, let's talk about trauma, just so we have a fuller understanding. There are three different types of trauma. There's acute, chronic, and complex. Let's talk about acute trauma first. Acute trauma, it's a response from a one-time traumatic event. Maybe you were in a horrible car accident, or maybe you survived a natural disaster, or maybe you and your spouse, you experienced a complicated birth. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you lost all of your savings. Maybe in your college years, you were date raped. These are one-time events that were horrible, and your response to it was traumatic. Okay, one-time events, acute trauma. The second type is chronic trauma. This is long-term responses to prolonged or repeated events. So chronic trauma, it's not a one-time event, but it's a long-term event. For example, some of you may have been bullied for a long time in school, all the way until you hit that growth spurt your sophomore year. Others of you, maybe you've experienced racism for most of your life. It was a prolonged and repeated event. Some of you maybe were raised in a home where there was alcohol, or maybe there was some drug abuse, and you lived in that environment and you never felt safe. That's chronic. Others of you were sexually abused. It wasn't a one-time thing, but multiple times and often by somebody that should have been protecting you instead of harming you. That's chronic trauma. And the third type is called complex trauma. And that's a response to multiple and ongoing events. This is when you're raised in a home or you're married to someone and you see a combination of all the things that we've talked about together. There's chemical abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's physical abuse, maybe there's sexual abuse, and the list could go on. It's just complex. No matter what you've been through or what level you find yourself maybe on the trauma scale, the thing you need to know is that trauma changes you, and it changes your perspective. It changes how you see people. It changes how you see God, and it can change your outlook on the future and life. See, we live in a fallen world where terrible things happen. I was taken back by some of these statistics. 1 out of 5 Americans were sexually molested as a child. 1 out of 4 were beaten by a parent to the point of having a mark left on their body. 1 out of 3 couples engage in physical violence. 1 out of 4 of us grew up with alcoholic relatives. And 1 out of 8 witnessed their mother being beaten or hit. In our lives, traumatic events could include a lot of things. It could be the divorce of your parents, the sudden death of a loved one, a best friend moving away, or you being uprooted and moving. Maybe it was your favorite pet dying. Maybe there was rejection from a romantic partner. I guess what I'm trying to say is that as we step into this conversation about trauma, every one of us has a story. And the people who are sitting on the row with you have a story that you have no idea. While the people that you look around this room, they may look blessed on the outside, they still may be trapped on the inside. While they may appear free on the outside, they may still be enslaved on the inside. See, the wounds you can't see can hurt as much as the ones you can. And in fact, it's the wounds that you can't see that take longer to heal than the ones that we can. Remember, trauma is not an event. It's not the injury. Technically speaking, trauma is the response to what happens in an event. Trauma is response to a deeply disturbing or distressing event. Some people go through horrible traumatic events, but they have no trauma. How is that possible? Well, here's what some people believe. Some people believe that there's 3 factors that impact how people deal with painful events that happen in their life, and the first one has to do with their family. Many people who experience trauma don't carry it around with them because they have strong family roots. Their family taught them how to deal with difficult times. They experienced a very strong sense of belonging, and as a result, they know that people really care for them, which gives them a high level of emotional security. And people who deal with trauma successfully often, as we look, have strong families. Now, some of you are like, that wasn't my family. And I get that. We can't go back and fix our family of origin. But if you're in a family now, you can create a strong family for the next generation. Okay? So we have to not just think about us. We have to think about others. And so some people have that. I will admit, this is a camp that I'm in. I was raised by a pastor, and he wasn't a weirdo. I mean, you've met him. And so even though there may have been traumatic events in my life, I had a family that helped process those to where those aren't raw and unhealed. We've gone through things, but how we've dealt with them is very different. It's incredible. I've seen different people have had cancer, and it's like the C word. It's like almost like a bad word to some people. But in my family, it was almost as though they were just had strep throat. Like they just went and took care of it, and there was not an ongoing traumatic response to what happened. Could it be traumatic cancer? Yeah, like it's your mortality's coming. But like my aunt had breast cancer, my father had prostate cancer. That's not like a part of the narrative that they walk with. And so it's interesting how sometimes how we're raised can help us to know how to navigate things. Now, some of you are like, that's not very helpful. I'm not in that situation, and my family was broken and messed up. There's two more things that can help here. Okay, so we're seeing that people who deal with painful events, well, there's three factors. Family is one. The second one has to do with faith. People who are able to handle trauma in healthy ways typically have a strong faith. They walk in faith to such a degree that they can hand their pain over to Jesus. They don't have to hold it all themselves, control it, figure out the outcome. No, I got a God who loves me, who's bigger than me, who's stronger than me, who cares about me, who has a purpose for my life. I can bring my pain and my troubles to him, and I can rest knowing that he is with me. In fact, that's what Jesus said, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. If you've not stepped over the line of faith and trusted Jesus, hey, today can be the day we begin to move into dealing with trauma in a healthy way. And the third factor that helps us deal with painful wounding and events is our ability to process trauma. Processing is very important. Those who have the ability and the opportunity to process trauma right away as it hears the event and they process it right away, are much less likely to carry it with them because they learn how to lay it down right away. So this morning, my goal as we talk about this kind of sensitive subject and as I see the time and how little time we have, the verse I keep coming back to as I put this together is 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and this is what my heart is today, is I want to encourage the disheartened, I want to help the weak, and I want to be patient with everyone. I want to encourage the disheartened, I want to help the weak, and I want to be patient with everyone. Some of what I have to say, you may not be ready for, and that's okay. But jot it down, because the day will come that you'll be ready. Nothing can change your past, but God can heal your broken heart. Your trauma is unique. I'm not going to say it's not. Healing will not likely be easy or instant. But I believe that unhealed trauma and pain will rob you of God's purpose for your life. We can't step into God's purpose for our life when we're still broken. We need God to heal. And if Satan can hinder you from healing in any way, he will rob you of your freedom, and it's God's will for you to be free. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Why did he set us free? For freedom. And then it says something that's kind of interesting. So stand firm then. As in like, hey, you got the freedom, but now you're going to have to fight for the freedom. Just because you came to Jesus doesn't mean that it's all smooth sailing now. No, no, you got to have to stand firm. And don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is an ongoing battle. But with God, we have the strength. I'll be honest with you, my faith-filled prayer this week has been that some of you hearing this message would begin to find freedom from things that have maybe been a part of your life for 10, 20, some of you even 30 plus years. What if healing could take place and you could begin to move in a new direction? I don't know if there'd be anything more exciting. 2024, man, the year things changed. So let me say this next line as lovingly as I can. Your trauma may not have been your fault, but pursuing God for healing is your responsibility. You're going to have to step up to the plate. There's some things you're going to have to do. It may not have been your fault what happened, but staying in an unhealed place, that's on you. So the journey towards healing, man, it's going to include some things you're not going to like. It's going to include forgiveness. It's going to include redemption. It's going to include purpose. But I want to give you just quickly three action steps that you can take to begin this process of healing with God's help. Number one, you need to process the pain of trauma with others. Instead of taking our pain to trusted people, we often push trusted people away. And the problem is that we don't heal in isolation. How do we heal? We heal in communities. Our third truth on our cards, God designed me to live in the community of God's people. Sharing with those we trust and not carrying the burden of our experience by ourselves can help us to find freedom. And let me say this, one of the most powerful things that we can do when helping others process trauma is just listen. Some of you are like me in my marriage. You want to help. You don't need to help. Sometimes you just need to listen. People going through trauma, sometimes what they need is they just need to be held. Sometimes they just need a hug. They just need to know that they're not alone. Other times they just need to be heard. Hold, hear, and then sometimes they need help. Don't just jump to help. People don't like that. Build relationship, get enough relational equity that you can make that sort of withdrawal. We heal together with the people of God. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. Don't do it on yourself. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is? To love your neighbor. Oh, I have to carry their burdens? I just thought I could love them. You know, I sent them a happy text, a little emoji, heart, hashtag Jesus loves you. No, how about you carry their burdens? I don't want to do that. Yeah, that's how we fulfill the law. Here's my challenge for you in processing the pain of trauma with others. You're going to have to change your priorities a little bit. You're going to have to stop prioritizing protection because you've been hurt and you've built walls up, and so you're really focused on protecting yourself. And instead of prioritizing protection, you're going to need to begin to seek connection. It's where the healing's going to take place. So who are your trusted people? And how much do they actually know about you? I want to encourage you. You need to get some people in your court. Who are your trusted friends? Who's your trusted family? Do you have a pastor you can go to? Do you have a mental health professional you can go to? If you have trauma, it may be challenging to navigate all the emotions and thoughts that come up as you walk through this part of your story. And so, hey, go find somebody who is a licensed professional who helps people with this. And if you need help finding one, come talk to us. I'll give you some names of people that you can go to. Number one, if we're going to move towards healing, we got to process the pain of trauma with others. Number two, we need to not forget that we need to press into God with our trauma. God is compassionate. He cares deeply for you. God is gracious. He's not scared of your burdens and pain. He is overflowing with love. God is faithful. And because I know who God is, I can take my trauma and burdens to him. The second thing that we need to do is prayerfully press into God with our trauma. I need you to know that we can take it to God. We can cry out to God. We can talk to God. We don't have to edit ourselves with God. He can handle it. You can unload on God. Man, it wasn't fair what happened. Man, that shouldn't have happened. Gosh, it's just not my fault. And I don't know what to do, God. I don't know how to heal. You can take that to God, raw and unedited. You don't have to clean up your prayers because God already knows. But he wants you to come to him, to press into him, to find your strength and hope in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. When we come to God with our trauma, you know what Jesus is going to say? Hey, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, it's big enough to help you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You may not be ready to do the second half of that verse, but you need to come with the first one. Get the grace. And over time, maybe you'll come to the place that you can boast in your trauma and weakness because Christ's power rests on you. Third and final action step that we have. Number one, of course, we are processing it with others. Two, we're pressing into God with our trauma. Number three, and this is the one some of you may not be ready for, but we're going to pursue purpose. And I like to call this trauma stewardship. As you're connecting with others, you're pressing into God, it's okay for you to look for purpose in the pain. And it's also okay if you're not quite ready for that. The verse that sometimes is thrown at us when we first bring up trauma is Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God never wastes pain. When he has all of you, nothing is wasted. And so trauma stewardship, it's not about blocking out our past. It's not about becoming absorbed with it. While everyone's trauma may look different, many of the underlying feelings of numbness and anger and abandonment and hurt can be similar. And with that, there's a purpose that God may bring to where we can begin to empathize with people who are in the middle of these same feelings. So when the time is right, start to look for the good in your experience. So I'll say it again. Your trauma may not have been your fault, but pursuing God for healing is your responsibility. And God can heal your heart. Psalm 34, verse 18, it says this. It says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's time for our heart wounds to heal. Because trauma doesn't just impact you. It impacts everybody that you interact with. And the healing process, man, it consists of numerous steps, but you can begin to step in the right direction today. Small steps in the right direction. Let's celebrate those. So if you're here today and you realize, yeah, Pastor, I need help from Jesus. Like, I'm not okay right now. The first thing is to admit. So as we bow our heads and as we prepare to pray today, we have a God who is aware. He's compassionate. And as you admit and acknowledge your hurt and wounds, my hope is that your prayer, just in the quietness of this moment, is, God, I need you. God, would you heal me? God, please help me. God, I don't want to live feeling this way anymore. God, I need your freedom. I encourage you, just in the stillness of this moment, to begin to pray that to God. Maybe it's just quietly. Maybe it's just under your breath, but God, I need you. I need your freedom. I need the new life that you provide. God, I'm looking to you for new life. I don't want to live the old way anymore. God, I need you. Forgive me for trying to do it in my own power. Forgive me for avoiding this for so long. I know you've been trying to lead me into healing and I've resisted it. God, I want to say yes to you. As we close today, there's a prayer we'll put on the screen. And this will be what we close with. Father, so many of us have experienced hurts, trials, and trauma. God, sometimes our pain is visible and sometimes it's personal and private. Please help us heal from our trauma and experience your presence in the midst of our healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.